and gentlemen, you are now listening to the Scare Blast podcast. And now here's your host, Lisa Burton.
Hello everybody, welcome to Scare Blast podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Burton, and today I am joined by actor, improviser, and sometimes improv teacher, Mr. Eric Muller.
Hello, Lisa. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for being here. Eric chose the movie From Beyond, which is a 1986 film based on an H.P. Lovecraft story, short story. Mm-hmm. So, Eric, let me ask you, do you like horror films?
I am a huge horror movie fan.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I watched, I think I was like 8 when I saw The Exorcist, because I had seen several horror movies at that point and was fine. Like, saw Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th, and was totally fine, no nightmares. My dad's like, okay, this one's really scary.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, Dad, whatever, no big deal. And that is the only film that has ever actually scared me with, like, staying power.
Which one?
The Exorcist.
The Exorcist.
Yeah, otherwise it's like I watch a million horror films all the time.
My stepmom, who's going to kill me for telling this story, she saw The Exorcist as a young girl and was so scared from that movie. She was laying in bed at night, and she has siblings. She was laying in bed at night, like, with a sibling or something, or in the same room, maybe. But they were laying in bed, and she was so scared to get out of bed and walk across the hall to go to the bathroom that she just went ahead and peed the bed.
Oh, my God.
At an age that was too old to be
too old to be
bed.
Doing that. That's fantastic.
Yeah. It's so good.
That aside, though, I'm like, I cannot get enough of horror films.
Yeah. I also feel like people who are exposed to horror films at a young age who remember them, those are the people that tend to like horror movies. If you're exposed to them at a young age and you dislike them or
have the memory of
have
terror.
The memory of fear, then yeah. you A, don't remember the horror movie you saw at a young age, and B, you just are like, no thanks.
Yeah.
No horror movies. I hate all of it.
I think I'd agree with that, because I definitely have, like, very distinct memories of watching horror films and be like, oh, this is cool, like, interesting, fun kill mechanics, nice practical effects.
Yeah. It's like, this looks really realistic, and I'm a little scared. Ooh, I like it.
Yeah, I'm more interested than scared, though. Scared?
Yeah. What is it about scary movies that you like, then? You said more interested than scared. Do you get scared at horror movies?
I mean, now it's extremely rare, and they tend to be, it's more like surprise scared than it is like literally creepy scared. One that recently legitimately scared me was The Babadook and It Follows.
Yeah.
Both scare me for different reasons. The Babadook, because whenever there's kids in peril, that actually gets me, like, really on edge. And obviously there's whole genres of kids in trouble horror movies.
Yeah.
And then also It Follows, because that one, I like horror movies where they don't explain a lot.
Totally.
And there's just that, like, dread dial that keeps getting turned up.
Yes.
And if you haven't seen It Follows yet,
I definitely have. Yeah, those movies, I've talked a lot now on this podcast about this, especially, like, those two movies come up a lot. And I would also go ahead and say that, As Above, From Below is another one of those style movies where that they are this new genre of film that taps into your very personal and day-to-day type fears that are, it just brings it home in a way that is scary and unexplainable, because those fear, your everyday fears are like, why is this happening to me? And it's never explained, and those are the best ones.
And sometimes there is no explanation. Or certainly there would be a satisfying one, so why bother?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad. Yeah, As Above, So Below, also a really fun one.
That is a great scary movie. Yeah. And like, at the end of that, too. Anyway, we're not talking about the movie. This is a different
movie.
So the movie we actually saw was From Beyond, which is this... Well, I'm going to let you go ahead and summarize this movie for us.
So, the sort of very quick summary of this film would be, mad scientist builds machine that allows us to see into planes of reality that are very close and parallel to ours, but populated by very, very different inhabitants.
Uh-huh.
And it turns out, when the machine is running, those inhabitants can also see and interact with us.
Yes.
That's sort of the very condensed version.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the slightly longer version would be there's two main characters in the film. We start with our hero, Crawford Tillinghast,
mm-hmm.
is his name,
mm-hmm.
and he's playing with the machine, turns it on, and we see this like weird eel creature.
Yeah.
Just it's like swimming in the air. The machine gives off like a purple glow. The eel is sort of purple. And he's just sort of fascinated by it, and just like right away attacks him and bites him in the face.
Yeah.
So right away they're like, here we go.
Yeah.
He goes and gets his mentor who, he brings upstairs. We don't see some stuff. There's like a neighbor scene where she discovers them. Turns out the mentor is dead under mysterious circumstances, which sets off, and Crawford gets arrested. He gets, put in an insane asylum, and a doctor comes back, believes his story of crazy monsters from beyond killing people. They go back to the house to reproduce the experiment, and then the rest of the film is basically the consequences of them constantly using this machine.
Yeah.
Kiss, my dear. Humans are such easy prey.
Let her go!
Oh, I will. Beyond her wildest dreams, she will go into my mind, and I will go into hers. It's the greatest sensual pleasure there is.
You never knew pleasure or gave it, only pain.
You are evolving into a being that has never existed before.
I'm Crawford Tillinghast.
Let it happen, Crawford.
No!
Let it out!
No!
Parts or constituent parts of this creature, like he can still survive, sort of. Maybe it's just it's
he's still a person within it or something.
Yeah, it's a little redemptive.
Sure, yeah, that's great.
So they like peel apart, and it like this is my favorite part of the movie for like triumph reasons, but also special effects reasons. It's just a lot of like that part peels off, and then now they're like a puddle of goo and like a laughing skeleton head,
yeah.
And it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
30 seconds, 20 seconds. There's a countdown while
yes.
all this is happening. Cause 5 minutes
yep.
on that bomb clock.
Yeah.
McMichaels, she finally like tussles herself away as they're body fighting and leaps out the window as the house explodes.
Yep. So she's the only survivor.
Only survivor. I mean, last girl. It's a classic
yep.
trope.
Yep. Last girl, 86. Yep, 1986.
Like, that's, we're right there. Her knee gets real screwed up. Everyone in, like, the area gets there immediately. Like, they're right there.
Yeah, and that knee screwed up is, like, fucking maybe my least favorite body horror of the film.
Yeah,
because it's the most realistic. And you're watching it, and you're like, oh, God. Oh, God. Because it's, like, ripped to shreds.
Oh, yeah, it's like if her knee bent backwards and, like, whole thing popped apart. It's real gross looking.
Oh, it's so fucking gross.
And completely probably accurate as that sort of
yeah.
thing. It's like, you jumped out of a window, yeah, your leg will get destroyed.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
and then she now, in, again, classic Lovecraftian sense, someone asks her, what happened up there? And she's just like, it ate him, and starts laughing maniacally.
She laugh, cries, screams.
Yep.
It's like a laugh, cry, scream in the most beautiful end to this movie. It's so good. The end of this is beautiful. And I was like, that's why they cast that woman. In this last scene, I was like, I couldn't fit. I mean, through the whole movie, you're like, whatever, this could be anybody, any woman. That's why they cast this lady.
Because she displayed all this, like, overlapping madness and different kinds of madness, a relief to be alive, grief for everyone.
There was something about her perfect teeth in that smile, too, that it's like, and everyone, all the townspeople were standing around, the people from the neighborhood, and just watching her lay on the ground with her fucked up leg and this big, weird grin, smile, laugh.
Laughing, crying, screaming, yeah. And it's still a Lovecraft where it's like, no one comes out unscathed with their contact with other planets or
yeah.
other realms. You will be driven into madness. People will die.
Madness. Yeah. Like, this, truly, I mean.
You believe, like, this lady lives the rest of her life, laugh, cry, screaming like
yes.
Because she's just, her mind is gone.
Yep. It's so good. It's really, really good.
And that's it. And it's, like, just, like, blackout.
Oof.
Done.
So, let me ask you, what did you think of this movie? Like, do you like this? Is this a movie that you reach for if you're like, I want to.
It actually, it isn't, like, one of my main go-tos.
Okay.
But I picked it for a couple reasons. One, I do like it. I think it totally holds water. I think it plays with a lot of fun themes.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of, like, horror movie sex treatment can be very, like, well, if you're not a virgin, then you die.
Yeah.
So it's very dumb. This, I think, really digs in a little bit and plays with some stranger ideas. Again, a little judgy of kinks and people who are into kinks, but if I really, really want to go for more creature stuff, I'll go to different films. If I want to go to more psychological stuff, I might go to different films. But this one actually, I just feel like it scratches an itch that I don't think a lot of other horror movies do, where it's got only Cronenberg stuff, I think, really touches on this nice. And maybe the director has, he does Reanimator as well. What's his name again?
I've got it. Stuart Gordon.
Stuart Gordon, yeah. So he plays with, like, sex and body horror in a way that I think only Cronenberg does.
Okay.
As well.
And what does Cronenberg do? Can you help
So he's me? Done The Fly.
Ah, yes.
He's done The Brood. He's done, what's the one with Jeremy Irons where he plays the creepy twin doctors who are gynecologists? That is one of the
most gross.
Discomforting films you have ever...
I believe it. I believe that.
Yeah.
Gross.
I mean, just the description, right?
Yeah, yeah. I was like, yep, okay.
Cronenberg does psychosexual horror like no one else.
Cool. Yeah, this film... So if you were to... you're to rate this film. Mm-hmm. If you were to rate this film in... spooky pineal glands that come out of your forehead.
Oh, okay.
And 10 pineal glands is a great movie, and, like, you would recommend this to everybody. One pineal gland is, like, the worst film you've ever seen. How many pineal glands would you rate this?
I think I would give this 6.5 pineal glands.
Yeah.
I think if you're a fan of this specific genre of horror, you'll probably like it more like an 8 pineal gland.
Yeah.
But horror in a vacuum, it is very specific. I also think it's, like, unappreciated, though.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I think it is, it's funny. This really is a different type of horror than the other ones that I've talked about so far, with people, and that, like, this is not that supernatural horror, but it's not a supernatural horror. It's not,
it's not like slasher, but there is gore.
But there is gore and people die.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of chased by monsters. It's not really a monster movie, but it kind of is.
Yeah.
Like, it is a monster movie. It's like, kind of covers, like you said, it's a psychosexual, like.
But also, the Lovecraft influence makes it very, like, Into the Mouth of Madness comes, you know, human minds can't understand. It covers a lot of ground. And that's why I just think it's one of those films. I picked it as much because I wanted to highlight it and, like, raise it up.
Totally. This, like, is a good one.
If you like horror, but maybe you don't always dig super deep, or, like, you know, it'll just be one of those, like, oh, that was different.
Yeah, I agreed. Yeah, I think this is definitely a, that was different, and I don't have to reach for a, I don't have to reach for, like, a human centipede to get this gross fix.
Absolutely.
Of like, body horror. Ugh. And, I mean, I can't even about that movie.
Yeah.
So talking about this one a little bit, it's directed by a guy named Stuart Gordon, the writer. H.P. Lovecraft, of course, wrote the original short story. The screenplay was translated by a guy named Brian Usna. And Brian and Stuart Gordon have worked on a number of films together, including The Reanimator.
Bride of the Reanimator.
All of the Reanimator films. Mm-hmm. And a number of these types of sort of weird, like, body horror type movies, with all of these special effects and weird things.
Oh, I love those.
I do talk about budget and box office a lot because I think it's really interesting with some of these movies.
Mm-hmm.
This one, the budget was $4,500,000. Do you want to take a stab at how it did in box?
Oh, boy.
I mean, that's a huge budget film. $4,500,000
and that's
horror movie.
For a horror movie in 86.
In 86.
So that's 20 plus today, right? Easily?
I'm sure.
I mean, it's gotta
be.
I have
no idea. I'm sure.
Box office? Okay, question.
Uh-huh.
Did it make its money back?
No.
Yeah, all right. That's good. $1.25 million.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, $1,261,000. Yep.
Okay, yeah.
About $1.25 million. Yeah.
Because this is not a film for the general public.
No, it's not. It's not at all. So
it's
I don't
not
know
snuggle
why
up with your sweetheart while we watch a slasher film, but everything's okay at the end. It's like, ugh.
And Reanimator was just before this, not
yeah.
long before this. So they must have just been like, well, Reanimator must have done really well. So they were like, here, Stuart Gordon, here's $4 million to do with whatever you fucking want.
Make something super creepy and weird. Now, I'd like to think it has become a cult classic.
Oh yeah,
to the way that like it was worth the money. But at
certainly.
The time, I don't know if I would have greenlit this.
No, certainly I do feel like Jeffrey Combs, the man that played Crawford Tillinghast, he certainly to me has become a cult, a cult actor, like a cult classic actor.
Same guy who is the Reanimator in Reanimator, for
uh-huh.
those of you listening. Like he's, oh, totally. And I wish I had his IMDb page up.
Yeah, he's done everything from like, he's done a lot of voiceover stuff for different comic book cartoons.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
He just has that kind of voice.
Yeah, which I also think is it. And he also has done a number of movies in the last couple of years. So I think there's another one I think that he has coming out. I don't know what it is, but I think he's also done, like many of these horror movie actors, they end up doing character acting on various TV shows like Grey's Anatomy and NYPD Blue. Like, you see them, they spring up.
And he is straight from central casting, like nerdy scientist-y guy.
100%.
Like 100%.
Go see The Reanimator if you don't know what that means.
But also, like, brings like a humanity to it, like
yeah.
when he's going through all the struggles in the film, he actually is a good actor, which
yeah.
I appreciate. Some horror movies, especially in the 80s with some of these science fiction-y weird things, like, you know, they don't quite pass muster, they do good enough.
Yeah,
he I think holds water as an actor.
I agree, he's a good actor. Yep.
Yeah,
fun to watch. So I have three trivia questions for you.
Love it.
One of them I know you'll get because you mentioned it.
Oh,
so I'm going to
okay.
ask that one first.
Got it.
What is the name of the street that this house is on?
Yeah, Benevolent Street.
Benevolent Street. They do, like, also feature that prominently in a couple of the shots. They
in
just,
a way
like,
that I thought would it would, like, be significant later in the film.
Yep, but nope.
Nope. Just
yeah.
Benevolent Street.
Just Benevolent Street. Yeah, it's really strange. It's and I think maybe they were just highlighting the fact that it's such a... so disjointed with what the house actually gives to you.
That was my thought too. Was like, is it this just them going like, hey, ironic, huh? Like, thanks.
Yep. Thank you. I mean, whatever. Show me that pineal gland again. Okay. So there's this old lady neighbor, and she's so fun. She's always wearing her kimono, or not kimono, her
like house coat, yeah,
her moo
yeah.
thing. And
her
and
hair's in
curlers. She's your stereotypical goofy fucking neighbor lady.
Yeah.
And she's got this little white dog. What's the name of the little white dog?
Oh, she says it so much at the beginning. I want to say Bunny.
Yes!
Is
the
it?
Name of the dog is Bunny. Very good.
Yes!
And I found out why. And I found out accidentally. It's never actually listed anywhere why the dog's name is Bunny. But that actress's name is Bunny Summers.
Bunny
so,
Summers.
Bunny Summers.
That act, that dowdy, chubby, hair and curlers is
yeah.
Bunny Summers. Awesome.
Bunny Summers. And so I'm sure she was like, they were like, well, we need you to be calling for your dog, so just, like, have a name for it or something.
Got one.
Bunny!
Bunny! And she's hilarious in the beginning.
She is, yeah. Well, and also, this lends itself well to this idea that these scary movies need this, they need, the comic relief, and she definitely fills that role well.
Thank God, because, man, when it gets intense and dealing with its weird body sex stuff, it gets there.
It gets intense and weird. So let's talk about the pineal gland for a moment.
Oh, boy.
Okay? The pineal gland is a tiny little gland that's in the middle of your brain.
Okay.
And in reality, in this movie, they talk about the pineal gland being a sexual center and being...
The third eye.
The third eye, yes. It's the one that's supposed to grow and let you see into the beyond. Mm-hmm. What hormone does the pineal gland in your brain actually excrete?
Oh, God. It's not insulin or... melatonin.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yes.
Is it really?
Right. Yes, it's melatonin.
Hell yeah.
Yes. This is melatonin, which is a serotonin-derived hormone, which affects the modulation of your sleep patterns. So melatonin is specific. I just recently heard this on a different podcast, but. Melatonin is not necessarily, you know, you're supposed to take it before you go to sleep as like a sleep aid.
I have done that. Yeah,
people use it as a sleep aid, but melatonin actually is more of a dark light aid. So melatonin as a hormone is excreted when the light outside starts to get dark. Your body excretes melatonin to tell you that it's time to go to sleep. So it's your circadian rhythm regulator.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Every vertebrate in the world has a pineal gland. Except for a hagfish, which a hagfish is a fish that is related to a lamprey.
Okay. We mentioned earlier.
Yes. And a hagfish and a lamprey are considered the most primal of the, or like primordial of the vertebrates. And a hagfish has no pineal gland, but they say that there may be some kind of pineal thing in a hagfish, but they haven't found one yet.
Are they a super deep water fish?
They are a super deep water fish.
So maybe it's just because there is it, but there is light down there.
There's light down there, yeah. There's a small amount, but yeah, they are, and they're this like a fairly recently discovered fish too. So, yeah.
Awesome. 3 for 3.
Yeah. Good job. That was a hard one.
Melatonin was very much a shot in the dark. Because I was, like, thinking of other hormones. I was like, I think that goes with that. I think that goes with that. Okay.
But also, I'm not going to ask you a trivia question that you absolutely can't answer. Like, this, I was surprised at that answer, but I also was like, well, that's guessable. Like, melatonin is totally guessable.
I have one trivia question for you from this film.
Okay.
He, Dr. Tillinghast casually mentions in the movie, and it's interestingly one that is featured actually in all of Stuart Gordon's films.
Uh-huh.
What's the name of the university that he studies at there in town?
Yep.
And I'll have a hint if you need one.
I do need a hint.
Begins with an M. And it ends in a way that you might pair with gin.
Oh. Metrotonic University.
Miskatonic.
Yes. Miskatonic University.
That is the same study in Reanimator, completely different character, Miskatonic University. And if I recall correctly, that's actually a Lovecraft thing. That's not a Stuart Gordon thing.
Cool.
Miskatonic, yeah.
Miskatonic. And is that an actual university?
No.
It's just a made up.
It's just a made up university for this realm. But I think it's fun that like in all the H.P. Lovecraft based movies that Stuart Gordon has done and maybe other ones, that's a constant.
I must say, too, that with all of these more modern horror films that are like, we have to be as realistic as possible, they have all these, like, real places they can name. I love a film that just makes up a fucking world. Like, and they're like, guess what? You're in an Earth-like world, but it's not Earth. Like,
yeah, and we can then, therefore, tune the aspects that we want to tune to make our creepiness work.
I love it.
If it did exist, I feel like it'd be in Canada, though, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. And just, like, I feel like the aesthetic of that actor that plays Tillinghast.
Yeah.
I feel like the aesthetic of that dude anyway is just kind of Canadian.
He's got a Canadian vibe.
Like, he's kind of Canadian.
Sure.
Thanks, Eric, for coming and talking to me and taking the time.
Thank you for having me. I had a wonderful time. I'm happy to share this movie with you specifically just everyone in general.
Because
I think it's a weird, gross gem.
It's so fun. Can you tell us, it's October. Is there anything, it's like the second half of October now. Anything coming up for you or anything, anywhere we can find you online at all?
I tweet.
Okay.
At EJMULLER.
Okay.
Tweet all the time. Always tweet. and I have shows at the IO Theater here in Chicago. I do the musical Armando.
Nice.
And I have a Herald team called Beans. Mm-hmm. Those are probably the best ways to interact with me.
Great.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks, Eric.
Thank you so much, Lisa. It has been a joy.